Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, it's one of my favorite times of year. Why is it my favorite time of year? Because it is the Little League World Series happening right now. That's the big event right now, right? It's what everybody's watching, right? Oh, you're all watching the Olympics, aren't you? Yes? Everybody watching the Olympics? Most people watching the Olympics? Okay, I will admit, yes, it is my favorite time of year because of the Little League World Series, but this week I've been so conflicted. What do I watch? Do I watch the regional finals with the boys that I love showing the purest of forms of baseball? That's why I love it. It's the purest form of baseball. Or do I watch the Olympics? And I'll admit the Olympics have been winning most of the time with switching back and forth. I need two TVs. Anybody want to buy me a second TV so I can watch both at once? No? Okay. I think God says I don't need it. But anyways, the Olympics, I love the Olympics. I love the Olympics, and I think that it comes at just a perfect time. At a time when it's so tough every day to wake up and turn on the news or open the newspaper, and it's just all this terrible news. All of this war and destruction and terrorism and ISIS and everything else, that it can almost be overwhelming each day. But here, as an entire world, we get to take a break, don't we? It doesn't mean all peace is happening, but I can surely pretend that peace is all over the world because everybody has put down their gun and everybody has their TV tuned into the Olympics. For one moment, we get to be this world that celebrates all of the countries and all of the diversities and all of the gifts that we have, and we get to join together in this great worldly event. And where does it all begin? It all begins in the opening ceremonies. And I'm sad this year I had to miss it because I was on the mission trip, but I wouldn't trade the mission trip for the opening ceremonies any day of the week. But here I love the opening ceremonies. Why do I love the opening ceremonies? Because it really is this world celebration. Getting to cheer for each country parading in, getting to be proud of their flag and their colors and their anthem and their team that they have. Here's Americans, we get to celebrate. We get to celebrate and be behind them and say, that's who we're going to be cheering for this week. That's who we're going to be seeing competing and winning and gaining medals. And we get to be so proud of them. And each country is getting to do that. Each country right there in that moment is getting to celebrate and have pride. And here we are as a world. And it got even greater this year, didn't it? Here it got even greater as the first team in with the Olympic flag got to be the refugee team. Here is an Olympic community, they decided that everybody gets to be invited, even those who can't walk behind a flag because they don't have an official country to call their own. And as a world, that's a pretty proud moment right there. To hear the stories of these individuals escaping wars and slavery and being able to compete on the Olympic stage so proudly. Here is a great moment. And here we get to see all week long how everybody is cheering and supporting and rallying. And it is just a beautiful time for us as people, with the world watching and the world supporting. And I see that reflected into our scripture this morning. Here we have the author of the Hebrews being a lot like Paul, and as both of them have talked about the light, our life as a race. Here, the Hebrews author says, we run it with perseverance, right? We run it and we aim for that finish line, just like those Olympians. But God says we're even more like those Olympians. Because one of the things that we see with those Olympians, and one thing that I've really been noticing this week, is that it's not just about the Olympians that are competing right now. It seems most every race, most every day, you're hearing about those who have gone before them. You can't watch men swimming without hearing the name Aaron Pearsall, right? You hear about those who have held the Olympic records and the world records and those that have had tremendous feats. Do you remember when? Do you remember when this gymnast did that, or that gymnast did that, or that diver did that? And it's like the past is right there, uplifting the current athletes, striving them for them to be even better, supporting them and surrounding them, and they talk about just that. I'm walking in the footsteps of this person that I grew up watching, dreaming that I could be like. I got phone calls from this person. We all heard from this one. And here all these Olympians of the past are right there present with those competing now. And God says, that's just how we are. Here I wish that our passage for the morning could have been the whole chapter 11, but I think you guys might have gotten a little weary if I would have done the entire chapter, and Judy might have lost her voice trying to read all those names. But in all of chapter 11, the Hebrews author is relating to the Hebrews of all of those that have gone before them, rallying off the great names of Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and Moses and Enoch. These that had faith and saying, by faith they were able to do this. By faith they were able to do that. This is just this big rally cry of encouragement within this chapter. Anything is possible through faith in God. And then we get to the part where Judy's reading. And to me, this Hebrews author is getting pretty fired up at this point, getting excited about all these names and the stories that they're relating, because our Old Testament, it has so many amazing stories, so many amazing stories of how faith was able to conquer this wall. It caused walls to tumble and seas to part and children to be born where women were barren, right? All of these incredible stories, and gets into where today is, and the people passing the Red Sea, and the walls of Jericho falling, and even Rahab the prostitute. I'm going to call that my refugee. Can I call Rahab the refugee that was welcomed in, even though she wasn't part of the group? All right, but then it gets even more, and he's like, well, how can I not? And then he just goes into this list. How can I not talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets? And then those who conquered kingdoms, and those who defeated death, and those who weren't devoured by the lions or overtaken by the flames. Let us not forget all of these. It's like it's the commentator. As we're running this race we call life, and the commentator's saying, look at that. They're doing it, and they're doing it with all of these that have gone before them. All of these that have conquered tougher tasks, all of these who've had bigger mountains, all of these who've had greater challenges, and they had faith in God, and they kept their eyes on Him as they were going through all of this, and God got them through, and here you go, and keep your eyes on God, and God is gonna get you through too. That's what this Hebrews author is saying. Here's the witnesses that say you can tackle anything with your eyes on God. But then we kind of get this detour in there as we get to these tough times. But then there were those who were persecuted, those who were flogged, those who were sawn in half. Here's these that the world did get to. But then what does the author tell us about these that the world was not worthy of? These are commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. By the definition of this world, they didn't win. Being sawn in half, being flogged, being persecuted, being mocked, the world would say, you're not winning the battle, and you're really not winning the war. But God says, I have a different definition of winning, don't I? God says, I've got bigger plans. Makes me think the first event I saw of this Olympics. The first event, and I know I missed days, it wasn't the first at all, but the first that I saw was the men's synchronized diving. Did anybody watch that? David Bodea and Steele Johnson. And I looked and I tried to find the clip of their interview, but then I was told that because it's got an NBC logo, Scott wouldn't allow it anyways. So copyright. I think NBC should pay us if it's got an NBC logo for advertising for them. I know. Anyways, so David Bodea and Steele Johnson in the men's platform synchronized diving got the silver medal. David Bodea, if you don't know, he's a veteran diver, and Steele Johnson, this is his first Olympics. He's a rookie. And here they come off. They've just found out they've won the silver medal, and the interviewer comes up to him and starts asking him about it. And what is the response? What is the response? But it's two-part. The first is that it doesn't matter what had happened up on that platform, because our foundation, our identity of who we are, is rooted in Jesus Christ. And no matter what happened in this event, that's still who we are. And then their second one, they said, and because we are blessed by this great family that surrounds us and cheers for us and is going to love us no matter what happens. And those are the two most important things. This is what David Bodea says. And they say, well, how about you, Steele? And Steele says, he just said it all. And then he says, and then God gave me this great mentor to show me not only how to dive, but to show me how to live with faith. And he said, that was a blessing right there. And that's where we get in this section. Sometimes it seems like the world is handing us defeat. When we get bad news, when we have struggles, when things aren't going the way that we want them to be going, and we just want to fall apart. But if we look at it, most of the time, almost all of the time, it's the world's standards that we're looking at. And God is saying there's a different standard. Your identity isn't what's in this world. The identity isn't what's happening in this world, but your identity is what is inside of your heart and how you allow Christ to encompass your life. I look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I see them getting ready to be pushed into that furnace because they wouldn't back down on their faith in God. They wouldn't worship the king's idol above Yahweh. And here they are, they're about ready to go into the furnace. And people would say, you're done, you're defeated, that's it, God has failed. But what do they do as they're going in? They're saying, go ahead, push us in, because our God has the capability to save us. But even if we're consumed by that fire, we will worship God and glorify him because we know that he will take care of us. When we're rooted in Christ, when we keep our faith in God, we're able to get through. But then we look up, like I said, with the kids, and we look into those stands, and we see that great cloud of witnesses. Those who have gone before us, those who've lived the life that we've looked back and said, I want to live more like them. I want to have faith like them. I want to have love like them. I want to have the security in who I am as God's like them. And we look to them and we draw strength. That when we find ourselves weary, when we find ourselves stumbling, when we find ourselves being challenged, that we get to go to that cloud of witnesses to encourage us on. Not only the witnesses that have gone before us, but those right around us. God says, I give you this incredible team. And what did he say? What did he say? Together with us would they be made perfect. It's together we come into perfection. Together we come into perfection because the one that draws us together is Jesus Christ, who completed his joy on the cross for us so that we could be made perfect through him and so that we would know with full confidence what's at the finish line. Not defeat, not the end, but the world to come for us and all of God's kingdom. There are those days that are tough. There are those days where we feel defeated. There are those days, but we look at it and we find out where we're rooted. I look at Michael Phelps. Everybody knows that name, Michael Phelps, right? Here he is. 30 medals, right? Got number 30 last night and said he's retiring. I couldn't imagine what kind of pressure that's been for 12 years, right? Three Olympics, 12 years. What kind of pressure every time he goes to compete, knowing that the world is watching and knowing that an entire country is expecting him to do nothing but win. That pressure could absolutely get to somebody. That pressure could get to somebody if those medals and winning is what they think is most important in life. And I understand Michael Phelps has gone through his struggles with depression, of having to see that win and to feel that pressure, but that he was able to find Christ and strength in that. Why? Because an identity becomes more than what this world says and gets rooted in something bigger, something that doesn't decay, doesn't rot, can't be taken from us, doesn't age out, doesn't need to go in a record book. But something that is all ours, that we get to hold on to no matter what. My friends, I pray that you are enjoying this race of life, that you are finding joy in it because of who you are racing with and whose race it ultimately is, and knowing what comes at that finish line. Amen.